Word of God, and we know as we let the Holy Spirit counsel us, let the Holy Spirit teach us. We know every time the Word gets deeper and deeper in our hearts, we're transformed. We're never the same because we're becoming more like Jesus Christ. And as we become more like Jesus Christ, that means more peace, more love, more joy in our lives. That's what God wants for us, but we got to make a choice. We make a decision. We're going to take in the things of God and we're going to live them. If we choose to do these things, God says, I'm going to show you what the abundant life is all about. And He has it for us. We simply say, yes, Lord, I desire you. I want the best from you. Why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you now. We're so hungry for you. And I ask you, as we come into your most awesome presence, I pray, Lord, you're going to fill us up, overflowing of your goodness. And I pray, Lord, no matter what we're going through in life, we're going to say, Lord, we surrender all. All to you, Lord, so that we can truly experience the fullness of Jesus Christ in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to speak through the message today. I pray, Lord, that as I just open my mouth, you will speak through me. And I know, Lord, your word will bring forth life upon us. We give it all to you now in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we take a look at your notes today. If you don't have notes, you can raise your hand and someone can get notes into their hands. All right. Well, today the title of my sermon is Tearing Down or Building Up. Tearing Down or Building Up. You know, if you've been reading the headlines in the newspaper and on Yahoo, it seems like, man, these headlines are just making you more and more discouraged because it seems like everywhere you turn, people are tearing down the most important virtues, virtues that we once held dearly. You know, things like integrity, truth, purity, honesty, respect, hope. It just seems it's declining. There's less and less of these virtues going around in the world today. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he talked about times like this, and he mentioned in 2 Timothy 3:1-4, in these last days, it's not going to be so good. Let me read to you what it says here. It's not in your notes, but let me read to you what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3. He says here, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. They will be disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And you listen to that and go, oh, that's kind of depressing, Pastor. Why are you even reading this? Well, we know it's the Word. And we know that certainly these may be the last days. But we, as Christians, do we hang our head low? Just like the world is? Because that's what the world is telling us. Before it can get any better, it's going to get so worse. And you go, wow, really? But as believers, we know we don't put our hope in man. We don't put our hope in the world. Who do we put our hope in? In God. And we know God, He will sustain us. And you know, on the internet, if you've been reading the headline news on Yahoo, you know, I go on Yahoo every day, and I tell you, I read the headlines and go, wow, how can this be? You know, like in the past couple weeks, you hear about North Korea, right? They conduct their third nuclear test, and it says the world is condemning them. And then you hear about the deadly shooting rampages in Nevada, in Delaware. Murder and violence is everywhere. And you hear about the betrayals between husband and wives, between the parents and the children. Wow, how can this be? And you hear about the Pope resigning from his position. You know, this never happened for like 700 years. And the Pope resigns and you kind of wonder why. Then you hear about the meteors coming to crash on the earth's surface, you know, in Russia. And then you hear about the devastating earthquakes that are all over the world. It seems like every day there's an earthquake that's happening. That's unreal. And you kind of go, wow, how can this be? Is this really like what people are saying, that the end of the world is coming? Because people in Russia, that's where they, what they were yelling when that meteor crashed. It's the end of the world! And you know that people are panicking. People are confused. But you know what? Today I want to talk about something even better. I want to talk about the tearing down of all the things that we hold so dear. No, I want to talk about edification. And you know, the word edification is a Bible term that is made up of two words. The first word is oikos, which means house. And then the second word is domio, which means to build. So you put them together, what does it combine? What is the meaning of that? To build a house. And you know, it's often used in the Bible in the literal process of building a house. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ, what was he by profession? He was a carpenter, right? Did he know how to build houses? Yes, he did. But you know, the Bible tells us, just like a building is to be built up, the scriptures tells us we must build up the body of Christ. How do we do that? We do that through how we function with one another. We have to get along as a body of Christ. We got to treat one another kindly. We got to treat with one another with respect. It's so important that we encourage one another. Because if we don't, man, we're going to be crushed by the world. When we come here, unified in spirit, as a body of Christ, we are to lift each other up. Not shut each other down. No, we lift each other up. And we tell each other, oh, you're so valued by our Father God. Oh, Jesus loves you so deeply. These are the things we should be telling each other. Because guess what? When we walk out into the world, you walk into an environment which automatically shuts you down. You know, there are days, you know, I'd be so uplifted, and I'll walk out, you know, the front door, and I'm driving, and people start yelling at me. I'm a good driver, right? But people give me stink eye, and people will cuss at me, and it's just like, wow, what a way to start off the day. But that's what it is. We know the world will say what they want to say about us, but when we come here, hold, you know the presence of God abounds, and we are to speak words of encouragement to each other. You know, I remember in the seventh grade, I had a teacher that focused on the negatives of certain students. Students that she didn't like, I remember, she would just focus on the bad things. But, you know, the students that she liked, the students that she favored, she would accentuate the positives. And I remember my brother was her student the previous year, and she really liked my brother, because my brother, he really excelled in all his subjects, and, you know, he was like real bubbly, his personality. I was a little more shy and all that. And I remember when it was my turn to have her as my teacher, it seems like she always focused on my weaknesses and my faults. And she would tell me, oh, Ben, you da 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 da, and all that, right? And I remember one day she had a parents teaching, a teacher's conference with my parents. And I remember my mom telling me this. My dad didn't tell me this. My mom said, you know what dad did? Dad defended you. I go, what? He said, you know what the teacher said? The teacher said, you know, your other son walked in. He's an exceptional student. What happened to Ben? But you know what my dad said to dad? He said, don't compare them. That is wrong. That's what my dad said to the teacher. He said to her, Walton is special in his own way. Ben is special in his own way. And you know, from that day forward, I had a newly found respect for my dad. And I go, wow, dad, you edified me. And it really built me up. It could have shut me down. If my dad didn't say anything, wow. But my dad did. He stood up for me, and it really built me up. And you know, in the world, we may get a lot of hits. People will say what they want to say. You're this, you're that, duh, duh, duh. And we get hit, boom, boom, boom. It sounds like a machine gun. Yeah, brother. Boom, 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 boom. It's like these words. Oh. And go, oh, that hurts. That hurts. But you know what? When they become too numerous, we look for a refuge, don't we? Oh, we try to find a place where, oh, no, I don't want to hear any of those things anymore. Refuge, refuge. And if you're a believer, where do we go? We go to our church. We go to the believers, the body of Christ, so that we can be prayed over, so that we can be encouraged. That's what it's all about. We come back to the church so we're built up back again. So we do not stay down. We get back up. We turn to our brother and sister and say, please pray for me, help me, encourage me. And we are to do that because that's where we're going to find the power of God. We're going to find strength from the Lord when we can turn to each other and say, pray for me. And you know, according to 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says we are God's building. Look in your notes right there. It says 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. And collectively, as a group of believers, we are the building of God. We do not need walls to be called a church. We as the body right here, we're the church. And you know, we build up the church externally through evangelism. We tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we build it up externally. We tell people to come to church because that's where they're going to experience the love of God. And we build it up internally by strengthening, encouraging, ministering to one another so that we will have the strength to serve God. So that we're built up. Because you know what? We live in a world that is hostile to everything we believe. You know, did you ever hear someone say, oh, you believe all that stuff? Man, that's someone's wild imagination. Why do you believe all that stuff? And we say, we know in faith God is real. We know God is for us because the Word tells us He fights for us, He loves us. Well, here's the question. How do we build one another up then? Well, here are the key principles I want you to really take in about how we are to edify one another. Well, first thing you got to realize and understand, number one here, it says edification is not about yourself. It is about the who? The saints. And who are the saints? We are. Because the Apostle Paul says, and pray continually for the saints. And all the believers here, we are called the saints. That's what the scripture tells us. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. It says here, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. And when the scripture mentions edification, it's about building other people up. We're concerned not so much for the good of ourselves, but for the good of others. Be focused on what you can do to help others. This is how you build up the church. Look what it says in Romans 15:2. It says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to what? Edification. That's what you do. You please your neighbor. In your mind, when you walk in the church, well, how can I please my brother and sister? Is there a frown on my sister's face? I gotta go to my sister. How can I please her? What can I say to her that will bring forth the joy of the Lord? Because it says here, it will lead to what? Edification. Think of ways. What can I do to make a difference? Don't always think, oh, what can I gain from this? What can I attain from doing this ministry or whatever? No, it's not about us. It's about others. And we gotta understand, it is important. We gotta learn to build up ourselves. It says that in Jude 20. But here's the thing. When we see the word edification in the Bible, the major emphasis is not on ourselves. It's on building others up. I'm called to build you up. You're called to build me up. If you want to follow the scriptures, that's what it's about. We're going to build each other up. Because guess what? We somehow become experts in tearing down and criticizing each other. But we are to build one another up. Because the devil, he would love to fill our minds with words that will shut our brother down or sister down. And we're going to say, no, devil, I ain't having that. I don't want to bring my sister or brother down. I want to lift them up to the heavens and let that person know how valued he is by God. This is what it says in Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And that's what you want to impart. Grace, that the person will feel, yes, I am so loved. I am not deserving of the love of God, but He loves me. And we are to speak these kind of words to our brothers and sisters. You know, there was a recent study done by these researchers of married couples who found that those people who believe that their spouse to be critical of them are much more likely to suffer clinical depression. Did you know that? The study concluded the single best predictor of relapse into depression was a patient's response to the question, how critical is your spouse of you? Wow. Well, let me tell you about my wife, Jana Lee, here. She's looking at me with that face now. But, you know, the first time I led a Bible study group was like more than 15 years ago. I remember the pastor asked me, Ben, we really need someone to lead a group. And I was so super nervous, and I had doubts I would do a good job. And I kept, you know, saying to her, oh, man, I don't know if I can do this. I'll be shaking, you know. And I go, oh, I can't do this. But the pastor asked me, man, now look, I cannot enjoy it now. I can't relax. And, you know, the thing is, we weren't married yet. But I remember she would tell me, Ben, no problem. You're going to do so well because God will speak through you. You got nothing to worry about. God will give you peace. And I'm praying for you. What do you think that did for me? It edified me. It built me up. And you know, it gave me the confidence to do fairly well for my first time. Otherwise, I don't know how I would have done. But it's her encouraging words that gave me strength to say, yes, I can. Through the power of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, to be honest, this is one of the top reasons I married this godly woman. Because, you know, other than the beauty, smarts, and the kind-heartedness, and her love for God, you know, there is so much power in our words of edification. And she builds me up every time, and I want to build her up.
Amen.
Continually too. Because that's what it takes. Whether you are married or you're single, if you're coming to church here, you know, we are to continually just pour out these words that will build each other up. And you know, I got to tell you about this businesswoman who went into a Thai restaurant to eat lunch. And you know, she sat down at one of the tables and she ordered one of the specials and she was, oh, looking forward to it. And when her food arrived, it was accompanied by a bowl of peanuts. And these peanuts are just sprinkled on the food. That's the Thai style, right? So she helped herself to the peanuts, and she started to eat. But when she was about to you know, taking the bite, she heard a voice saying, oh, what an attractive hairstyle. It's perfect for you. And, you know, the woman looked around, and she couldn't see anyone near her. And she go, who's that talking to me? And here's the thing. Every time she took a bite, she heard a voice praising something else about her. Her clothes, her shoes, her handbag. You know, by the end of the meal, she was quite concerned. Am I going crazy? Am I going nuts? There's nobody here. So she called the waiter over, waiter, waiter. And she said, I keep hearing a voice telling me how great I look. Is somebody here playing a joke on me? And the waiter said, no, ma'am, not at all. It's the peanuts. They're complimentary. Get it?
Okay. Got it, got it.
I don't have to explain it, right? But here's the whole point of this. Regardless of the source, isn't affirmation great? When we can hear these words that tell us, oh, we're so valued by God. You're so good. Because, you know, we face so much negativity in this world, don't we? And sometimes if we hear peanuts talking to us how good we are, we'll take it. So thank you, Mr. Peanut. We don't want to do that, do we, though? We don't need to be complimented by food. We want to be complimented by each other. Let's get in the habit of doing that, because it will certainly build up your spirit, and it will build up your brother and sister's spirit as we do these things. Let's stay away from the negativity. Amen? Or number two here. It says, it is not what you profess, it is what you pursue. P-U-R-S-U-E. Pursue. Look what it says in Romans 14, 19. It says there, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Everyone say, every effort.
Every effort.
Do whatever it takes to bring forth peace and mutual edification. And you know the word mutual, it means both ways. Not just one way where the other person is giving you all the encouragement, but you're just receiving it, but you're not giving back. Mutual means it goes back and forth. We got to build each other up like a ping pong, 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 ping pong, right? I don't know why I said that, but here's the thing. We keep going back and forth, you know, and we make sure that it keeps going. It doesn't stop. You're receiving it all, but you're not giving it out. Because here's the thing. If I were to ask you today, how many of you are builder-uppers and how many of you are tear-downers? Most of us would say what? I'm a builder. I'm positive, right? We will profess that, right? But building up is something you gotta work at. Because I have to be honest with you, I'm amazed how easily I can get into conversation with friends. And, you know, we can just be talking about another brother. Says, oh, yeah, you know, he or she is doing so much for the church. And we're just praising. Oh, yeah, praise God. And then when I look back, I kind of realize, man, I was a little bit sarcastic, or there were times I was even a little bit critical of someone. And I go, shame on you, tongue. Why did you say that? You know, I'll blame my tongue, right? But isn't it easy to offend someone? I mean, just offhand, you just say something and you tear someone down. We got to watch what comes out of our mouths. And we got to make a choice. Are we going to pursue the things that make for peace and edify one another? Or are we going to say things that tear each other down? Because guess what? If we keep doing this, what will become of this church? It will become empty because everyone is hurt. You say, I'm not coming back to this church. I come to this church so I can be built up, so that I can receive the healing of God. But no, I'm getting hurt. We got to stop that. If we're doing this, we got to stop it and say, no, devil, I see this is your plan of destruction. We're not having it. We're only going to say things that will edify each other and build each other up. Because we got to do it intentionally. It doesn't come accidentally. We got to make a decision. Are we going to speak life upon people? Not death. We're going to speak life. Look what it says in Hebrews 12, 14. It says here, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be what? Holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So the first one says, make every effort to do what leads to peace. But now it says, make every effort to live in peace. I want you to understand there is a difference here. Because with this one, it comes down for us to saying, we're going to make it a lifestyle. I'm always going to be the one. I want to humble myself and live peacefully. I'm going to do whatever it takes so that there is no strife in my household. There is no constant arguing in my household. I'm going to be one that lives peacefully. I'm going to be a peacemaker. And when you make that choice, guess what? You're going to be so much more happy because there's not going to be any screaming or yelling in the house. You're going to be the one that always going to say, let's work it out. Let's bring peace in this household. I got to tell you about this guy who's touring the zoo, and he sees a very strange sight. He sees a tiny lamb sharing a cage with a huge grizzly bear. And you're not surprised. He asks the zookeeper, hey, what kids? What's up with that? A little tiny cute lamb in the same cage with a humongous bear. And you know, the keeper, he says, oh, that's the picture of peaceful coexistence. You know, as the zookeeper walks away, he's glancing back and he adds, but of course, we have to put a fresh lamb in every morning. And here's the thing. I want to tell you, as I was asking the Holy Spirit, what shall I get out of this? He tells me there are times we may come home and we're like a mean, ferocious grizzly bear. We may have had a hard day at work, we're grumpy, we're growling at our spouse, right? Yeah. At our kids, right? Yeah. Brother, you know? Okay. And our spouse and kids, they're the peaceful lambs, right? And they're going to be slaughtered with our angry words. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Church?
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something, though. I know most of you probably think, okay, the bear is a husband, right?
Yeah.
Not true. Not true. I'm not looking at you. It can be the husband or wife. It can even be the kids, right? And here's the thing. The Bible says you're going to make every effort to live in peace. And you're going to exhaust every means to bring forth peace in your household. Exhaust means whatever it takes. So, I'll give an example. So in the case, you're the bear, right? And you're grumpy, you had a hard day at work, and you're just feeling all tired, and you know what you do? You call your spouse up, and you tell them, you know, hon, I'm kind of grumpy. I had a hard day at work. The boss yelled at me. Can you pray for me? Is this something we would normally do? No, but whatever it takes, right? Call a close friend, somebody you know you are accountable with, and you tell them about your problems. You tell them, oh man, I'm about to go home now, and I really feel like I want to rip someone's head off. Oh, can you just pray for me? Or you can just read and meditate on the scriptures that talk about controlling your anger. Like the verse that says, in your anger, do not sin. Let the peace of God take a hold of your heart. I mean, we meditate on these scriptures. And another thing we can do before we get into the home, we get out of our car and we take a nice walk in the neighborhood. And you know what? This is what I do. I just talk with God. I say, Lord, help me. I'm not feeling too good right now. Can you help me to be at peace right now? Because I don't want to go in that home and create strife. These are things we choose to do. Like I said, this is not the natural thing to do, but you know what? We live supernaturally for God, don't we? And we ask God to help us. We're going to do whatever it takes so that we're going to edify one another. We're not going to tear each other down, because some people say, you know what? I deserve to let it all out. I want to puke on somebody right now. Because, you know, my loved one, they should understand. If she really loves me, I'm gonna just puke it all out, and she better receive it. No. sound disgusting, but I really want you to catch this here. But we are not to do this. No, you're not excused to do this. We're to love our spouse, our children, all our brothers and sisters. You don't make excuses. Yeah, they should be. No, they don't have to do anything. Know that God, He will receive it from you. Because He says to cast all of your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. So if you want to give it to anyone, give it to God. He will take it, and He's going to cover you with His joy, His peace, His love. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, we live in a fallen world, and people don't always get along or coexist peacefully. We know that, right? You know, but one day, you know what the Bible tells us? Good news, everyone. One day God's kingdom will be established here on this earth. Peace will reign in the hearts of all men, all the creatures here on this earth. Right, Cara? I know, I'm getting excited again. And we know we have this to look forward to. Look what it says in Isaiah 11:6. It says here, in that day, look what it says there, the wolf and the lamb will live together. Can you imagine a wolf and a lamb living together? The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And guess who will lead them off? A little child. Is that possible? Yes, in the kingdom of God. When He comes and He rules the earth. We get to look forward to this. And in heaven, we know there's no pain, no suffering, no tears. There will be constant joy. There will be peace always. No room for wars, no room for strife. You're going to be at constant peace. And as believers in the faith, we know this day will come because God promises it. So don't despair, brothers and sisters. We know God, He will show Himself strong in our lives as we do whatever it takes to live peacefully for Him. Well, number three here, it says, it's not about how much you know, it's about how much you care. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 13:2, the Apostle Paul, he writes, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, what does it say there? I am nothing. And we got to understand it's the love of God that is the key that opens the heart in building one another up. We got to use the love of God in us to build one another up. Because, you know, if we're not real about our words, people know this. But if you really love with the love of God, and you know that is so deep, brothers and sisters, they're going to say, thank you. Oh, that really helped me, what you said. And we got to remember, it is the love of God that will open that heart to show who God is when we truly tell them that it is Jesus Christ that loves them so much. And 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says here, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we possess knowledge. But knowledge, what does it say there? Puffs up, while love builds up. And what does it mean to puff up? It says knowledge puff up. What gets puffed up?
Your head.
Your head, right? Your chest kind of comes out as your head gets puffed up. We're walking around like this. I know so much, you know. I memorized 2,322 Bible verses. Ask me anything. Don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. It's good to memorize scripture because I memorize a lot of scripture. But you got to realize that's not what it's all about. It's not about the knowledge. It's about the heart. And I know a lot of my sermons, I talk about this, but I always come back to this. The Holy Spirit just keeps bringing me back to this. And I got to preach it, right? Because it's from the Holy Spirit. Because it says here, love builds up. It is love within us that builds up a brother or sister in the faith. And you know, there's an old adage that says, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. You can have all the knowledge, you know, that you have attained, but if they don't know that you care, they're not going to listen. I know this because I minister to people in the park, and not until I show them, hey, you know, that I really care. I ask them, how's it going? You know, did you find that job yet? You know, so are you warm at night? If not, I have a blanket in my truck. These are the things we do to show them, hey, I care about you. Because I can talk to them about John 3:16 to I'm blue in the face. I don't show them I love them. Then go, so what? So what about your Jesus? You're not showing it. So we got to take the extra step and say, hey, I really care about you. And then they're going to receive the word. Because edification is not about how smart you are. It's not about how many courses you took in seminary or in college. Edification starts primarily in the heart, where you look up and see people's souls. You see people are hurting. Sister, can I pray for you? Brother, what can I do to help you out? That's what it is. It starts here. And when you can truly understand that, that's where we know the power of God will be displayed. Because it's the love of God that will come out as you extend that hand. As you say, let me help you. You know, I got to tell you, I once read about this elderly man who ran a variety store. And then one time it was a thriving business. I mean, it was doing so well. But here's the thing. When he got older, he became obsessed with keeping the store neat and clean. And he spent hours arranging and rearranging the merchandise on the shelves. And someday he wouldn't even open the store. You know why? Because he didn't want people to mess up everything that he had, you know, made so nice and neat, right? And, you know, one day a woman came in with a little boy. And the boy got loose from the mom. And he began to mess things up. And you know, the man began yelling at the child, what are you doing? You know, I spent so much time making that so nice. And you know, he got so upset. The boy just said, okay, I'm sorry. And then put the things down and he kind of, you know, walked away. And you know, both the mother and the young child left in tears, and they never came back. You know, as time went on, the man stopped stocking new items on the shelves because, you know, the old things fit so well on the shelves, and it seemed like she was so used to them, and he loved the way the store just as it was. So I don't want to change it anymore. Well, guess what happened? It wasn't long before no one came to the store anymore. And you know, the business had to be closed. Well, why am I telling you this? Well, just like the obsessed store owner, you know, the local church can lose sight of the purpose of why we have a church here. Because the gospel is not something to be put on display and admired and to be protected. No, it is for everyone. Everyone who wants to enter in, we are to embrace them and say, good to see you, brother. Sister, I'm so glad you're here. Because we're going to show them that we really care. That the love of God is truly in us. It is intended to be given away. The love of God and the Word of God. And we're going to tell them, what's your need? Because the Word of God has something to say about it. That God says, I will provide for your every need. And I'll be there for you. And it is a store that exists for all of us. We got to understand, we got to welcome anyone who wants to hear the Word of God. You know, Romans 14, 19, it says, so then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. And you know, I love it, you know. I got to tell you, you know, Carl, he's the director for evangelism for Open Door Christian Ministries. You guys didn't know that, yeah? I said, brother, you're the director. You're in charge, my brother. And you know, just like a couple Saturdays ago, we got to go and evangelize. And I remember, you know, he kind of gave us a briefing. And he says, okay, I want you to understand, guys, don't look at the appearance. You know, because it could be that a Hell's Angel biker with all tattoos, right? Covered with tattoos. You may look at him and go, oh, I don't know. So don't look at that. Remember, it's the heart that we're looking at. Because this person, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to show you this clip that will really explain what this is all about. So I'm going to ask Brother Lawrence to go ahead and roll that.
Saying goes, don't judge a book by its cover. And it's true. Don't look at that person who ends up next to you and say, that person is way too different from me. I could not invite him to my church. I can't have my friends see me bringing this guy in. We need to see others as Christ sees them, with a holy compassion for the lost. You know what? We all need God, no matter what the person looks like, or how different they are from you. As Christians, we are responsible to reach out to those around us. Their eternity depends on it. We need to stop worrying about the opinions of others. We need to open our eyes. New opportunities are put in front of us every single day to come out of our comfort zone, open our mouths, and speak these simple words.
Hey man, if you're not doing anything this weekend, check this out, we're doing something cool at our church.
Thank you.
surprised you, didn't it? Really, yeah, we are not to judge. You know, whoever the Holy Spirit leads you to speak about the good news, just do it. Tell them, yes, God loves you deeply, more than you ever knew. You tell them about the truth, the Word of God that will bring forth blessings in their lives. That's what it takes for us to be bold and just go out there and be fisher of men. Amen? Well, number four here, it says, it's not about your wisdom, it is about His Word. His Word. Well, 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 here, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And I have to tell you, when we are counseling one another, when we are edifying each other, encouraging each other with the Word of God, you know what I always do? I say, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit fill me, let it fill my brother or sister, so that as we receive Your Word, it's Your Holy Spirit that will give us understanding. It's Your Holy Spirit that will instruct us on what we need to do to bring forth Your healing, Your restoration. You got to realize it's not about our wisdom or our knowledge. It's about the very Word of God having the power to transform our life when we can take it in and apply it in our own lives, and we let it go so deep within our hearts. It's not us, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. Amen? Amen. Holy Spirit in us. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 12-14. And this is really explain it all. Look what it says here. What we have received is not from is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So as we preach the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that will give us what we need to say. Because I got to tell you, there are going to be times where you never remember memorizing this particular scripture, but as you're counseling someone, it just comes out. And you go, how do I remember memorizing that? And it just comes out. I tell you, there's power. When you're in the Word of God will come out when you need it, just at the right time. It says that the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand it, because they are discerned only through what? The Spirit. We got to understand, there are times people are going to, you know, just kind of listen to what you're talking about, you know, about your faith in God. And for them, they go, oh. You ever had someone do this to you? When you're talking to them, they're not saying anything. Just go. And you know, more so I pray, I say, Father God, I pray that that devil would take his claws off of my brother's heart right now. Because I know the devil doesn't want this person to receive the Word of God. And I'm just praying. And you got to be surprised when you're just praying and praying, and all of a sudden the person goes, really? Tell me more. They may have been, you know, doing this, rolling their eyes, and all that. All of a sudden, what? God loves me? Try it. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Keep on praying. I got to tell you, you're going to see the power of God come forth. Because it's not you. It's not me. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit in us that will come forth. And you're going to see your loved one say, oh, please tell me more, because I need God. And that's what we want. And we know only God can do it. But the question is, how do we get built up enough so that we can build up someone else? And you know what? It's in the Bible. It's in the book. We got to read it. We got to stay strong in the Word, because I got to tell you, if you're not in the Word of God daily, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to be experiencing being torn down frequently. Because just a little phrase from a person, someone could say something that just hurt you, and you're easily torn down. Or it could be the case where you're going to be tearing other people down because you're not in the Word. You have to be in the Word to stay strong. So when these words come at you, it's just going to bounce off. You're going to be so thick-skinned because the Holy Spirit is going to cover you with thick spiritual skin. It's not going to affect you. It's not going to go in your heart because you already know what God thinks of you. And it's not going to affect you. And the words that come out of your mouth, it's not going to be hurting others because you know the life of God is in you. And what you're going to do is just speak life upon others. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we are called to do. And the Word of God is the fuel to help us to be a builder. The Word of God is the fuel that will help us to be that builder that He called us to be. We're going to build each other up, not tear each other down. And I got to tell you, it's interesting to know, you know, a survey of people under 25, they found in this study that most of them are dependent upon the internet for activities ranging from cooking to illness diagnosis. You know, it's kind of strange with the internet. A lot of people say, I don't buy cookbooks anymore because I go on the internet, and especially Sister Tina now has her own, you know, site to how to cook Filipino food. Hey, who needs a cookbook, right? Or you say, I don't need to go to a doctor. I can just go on the internet and I'll find out what's wrong with me. I'll just type out all the symptoms and I'll know all about this disease, right? And here's the thing, in the study they also found, like, 4 out of 5 people under 25, they say they're lost without the internet. And by contrast, though, 3 out of 5 people over the age of 25 said that they would feel lost without the internet. You kind of wonder, what did he mean by feeling lost? Like, you know, they can't have a control in their life. It seems like they can't function without the internet. You go without a day without the internet. It's just like, oh man, I'm depressed. I can't go on with life. And here's the other thing. 1 in 3 adults surveyed say they would choose internet over television. People prefer the internet over television now. And it says here, with 60% of the people surveyed, they describe the internet as one of the most important inventions in the 20th century. And here's the thing, we just kind of think about this. You know, the internet places a huge amount of information right at your fingertips. You want to know about the purple spotted armadillo? Purple spotted armadillo. There, boom! It tells you all you want to know. There's not really a purple spotted armadillo, I'm just making that up. But you know, if you wanted to know something like that, if it existed, oh, it'll give you all the information you want. That's what the internet does. But the question is, how much of it has eternal value? Does it have an eternal value? You can say, yeah, I can go on the internet and, you know, go on like sites that, you know, have Bible commentaries and all that stuff, but do you feel lost? If you were to go an entire day with opening the Word of God, would you feel lost? If the whole day, you never touched the Bible. You just went through your day, maybe on the internet, you went to work and all that. The thing is, would you feel lost if you never sat down and opened the Bible and found strength through the Word of God? Because here's the thing, the internet, yes, it is useful, right? It gives us a lot of information, but the scriptures are life-changing. It changes your heart. It changes your life. Internet can give you more knowledge, but when you can actually sit down with your Bible and say, Lord, I'm hungry for your word. Feed me. Guess what? God's word will come. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you understanding of the scriptures so that you can lift your head up high. Like the world, like I told you earlier, they're being told it's only going to get worse before there's any light. Just before there's any, just a glimmering of light. No, it has to get beyond that. But we're going to say no. Every day I'm living for Christ. It only gets better and better. No matter what's happening around me, I know God is for me. So I'm not going to let my fears or anxieties take a hold of me. No way. And you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I know my God will sustain me. And here's the verse in Psalm 119, 105. It's not in your notes. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what we have. The Word of God, who is that light right at our feet, because He's directing our steps. That's why the lamp is at our feet. so we know where to go. And as we look to the Word, every step we take, God is directing. So why are you worried, brothers, sisters? Knowing that God says, I will show you the light, where you are to go. Well, let me ask you a question. What does Jesus want us to do for this week? I think he wants us to be builders, edifiers, people who are committed in strengthening the body. And we got to think of ways, what can I do to strengthen my brother or sister? And I just want to say this one thing to you, brothers and sisters. I need you. I need your strength. I need your help. I need your encouragement. And I know that you need that from one another here in the body of Christ. And the first thing we got to do, we got to ask God to build us up in His Word so that we can have a ministry in building each other up and building each other up in the things of the Lord. We need the Word of God. This is the key ingredient in edifying one another. The Word of God to come in, not into our minds so much, but into our hearts, where it will settle there. And we know it's the Word of God that will give us all we need to live a victorious life. Look what it says in Psalm 133, 1-3. It says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like a precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Wow, did you catch that? It says, God is so pleased. There's a smile upon us, the smile of God upon us right now, because we're living together in unity. We're so glad to be with one another. We're knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it says here, that's where the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. We got to embrace that smile. And that smile will be constantly upon us. We're pleasing God when we don't fight, we don't bicker, we don't argue. When we live in unity, this is what pleases God. Because here's the thing, you can think of the church as a hospital where it's for the spiritually sick. You've heard people say that before, right? And you know, sometimes, you know, we may play the role as a doctor, because a doctor is the one that is going to try to provide some kind of healing. And so is the case with us. Some people are going to need prayers. They're sick. They're hurting. Are we going to be the ones, let me pray for you. Let's go to God so that God can do his miracle in your life. But there are other times where we're the patient. It's okay. This is what a hospital is, right? We're the patient. We come needy. And we go to a brother. Oh, brother, please pray for me. I'm hurting. And we go to each other like that. I need to be encouraged because I'm really struggling. And we go to each other like this. And we got to open ourselves up. We got to be transparent. We got to be willing to say, I need help. Please pray for me. Because that's where we're going to experience the power of God. And you know, we may come from all different walks of life, but we are unified in one spirit. Amen? Knowing that it's the Spirit of God that is upon us, when we know, no matter where we come from, what background, no matter what your past has been, we all come together. We're one body in Christ. I want to show you another clip to really help you to understand this. Brother, can you roll that?
Amazing grace.
How sweet.
That saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier.
Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused.
Just lost.
But now.
I'm sober.
Happy.
Peaceful.
Grateful.
Free. Alive.
Forgiven.
I'm found.
I was blind.
To God.
To faith. To love.
Pero ahora, yo veo.
I see that I mattered.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
T'was grace that taught my heart to sing. And raised my fears, relieved.
Brothers, sisters, we know we're all in it together. And when we can live together in unity, wow, we come to a place like this and we build each other up. We're strengthened. We're empowered by God. I want you to look at this bottom line verse here. It says in Isaiah 45:3, I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, God says, secret riches. I will do this so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. And when we are fellowshipping together, we know that we are one spirit. We are pleasing God. And we know we can hear our Savior's voice calling our names. Because here's the thing. You guys remember that TV show Cheers? They have this song called Where Everybody Knows Your Name.
Sing it, Pastor.
Well, you know, well, here's the thing. You know, right? When you guys know that show, right?
Yeah.
When Norm or what was that, Cliff would come into the bar, everybody would go, Cliff! Norm! You know, it's just like everyone's so happy to see one another, right? Shouldn't we be like that? Knowing that, wow, God put us together here. It's not by accident, you know that, right? God put us here together purposefully. Because he knew that we would work together in unison. I want to just read to you the lyrics to this song, Where Everybody Knows Your Name. Okay? Here's what it says. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Well, you know what? As I was reading this, the Lord showed me, hey, rewrite this song then. What? And yes, the Lord gave me new lyrics to this song. It's called Where Jesus Calls Your Name. And it's so much more powerful. And you know, it's kind of funny. Yesterday at the park, I said, okay, I want to sing it to you guys. And I see a sister in the front. She's looking at me. So what, you heard me sing before then, huh? But really, I don't want to sing it to you. If it's okay with you, I want to sing it from my heart to you. There it goes. Lord, it's all you. Taking a look at the world today, the problems sure seem a lot. With all your worries and anxieties, no wonder your eyes are bloodshot. Don't you just feel like running away? Sometimes you have to go where only Jesus calls your name. Where there's never guilt or shame. Why don't you just taste and see him, and you'll never be the same. You want to go where Jesus calls your name.
You wanna go where Jesus calls your name.
Here's the thing.
One more time.
Enough, brother. Enough.
But here's the thing. Brothers, sisters, right here, right now, Jesus is calling your name. Because in the presence of God, he's calling all of our names. In the presence of our Lord God and King, our Father God, he's calling your name because he loves you. Because he loves it when we're together like this, glorifying him. Getting in his word so that we can have the abundant life. Just listen to his voice. He's calling your name right now. And he's showing you how much he loves you. Amen? Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And I know, Lord, your presence abounds in every way. And I thank you, Lord, for this message, knowing, Lord, we're not going to be people that tear down one another. No, we're going to build each other up, because that's what you called us to do. And I ask you, Lord, to give us that strength, to help us to be built up so much in your spirit that we will be the one that will always reach out a hand to help those who are in need. We're going to be the ones that say, hey, I want to make a difference for you. Help. Let me help you. Let me help you. I pray, Father God, you will put that in our spirit, because this is what it's all about. If we are to say that we are followers of Christ, we got to put our needs. We got to put our needs not before those who are hurting. We got to value others more than we value ourselves. Your word tells us this. I pray, Father God, will you just write that in our hearts, that we're going to be a people that will truly love each other deeply, that we're going to love each other with the love of Christ. And Lord, we know we can't do this on our own. We can't love with your love naturally. No, we need to do it supernaturally. And that means it's your power that will give us the ability to love the way you love us. And I pray, Father God, as your word has really spoken life into us this very morning, I pray that we're going to go forth and tell the people the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for what you started in life and what you will continue to do. We come to give you all the glory. And I pray right now, Father God, as your Holy Spirit comes and counsels us, speak to us in ways that will help us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And if that's your heart today, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to step out. I'm not going to just stay in my own secluded area and think, okay, I can just sit in the back of the church and just listen. I don't have to do anything. I pray as your Holy Spirit speaks to us, we're going to say, we're going to be a people that will make a difference for your kingdom. And I pray, Lord, as your Holy Spirit comes and fills us up, we're going to be able to do this because you will work through us. But if that's your heart, if the Lord is speaking to you and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to be sent into the world and tell the good news about my Lord Jesus Christ. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, that's me, Lord. Send me. Here I am. Send me, Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just keep your hands up. Say, Lord, that's me. Lord, that's me. Right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But most importantly, is the hearts behind those hands. Saying, Lord, I'm going to serve you with my whole heart, with my whole life. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, let your presence fall upon your people now. In the name of Jesus, let your presence be overflowing in my brothers and sisters' hearts. As they go out into this cruel world, there will be that shining light. The light of Jesus will shine in their lives. And people will want to know who Jesus Christ is, simply because we live a life that is righteous, a life that is truly reflective of our Lord Jesus Christ. praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. For I know you're going to strengthen us. You're going to empower us. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard of people talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, about having a relationship with Father God. What can I do? How do I get started? What must I do? Well, you can start off first by praying a simple prayer, but you know what? It's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from deep within. And if you're ready to say, Lord, I surrender my life to you, know that God is listening right now. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Because the Bible says if you deny him today, he will deny you. You got to make a decision to say, Lord, I am ready to give my life fully to you. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, oh, don't wait. Say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. And if you're ready, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Anyone else? Say, I say yes to him. I surrender my life to him. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. I see your hands. Praise God. Okay, you can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family, knowing we're declaring what we believe about our Lord God and King. Let's pray it out loud. Let's pray together. Say, Father God, I need you.
I
give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this. So you can hear me, Father God. And so that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him. And I live for a moment.
Father God,
write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all stand.